We're holding on static Dalit Ahmed Bey's about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins Vidach. 12 lines from the bottom. We started talking about the four Shomrim, where the Pasuk tells us, now you have two sections in the Pesukim. One talks about a case where a person is potter for Gneva, and we learned as well that it also applies to Aveda, and the other one that is Chaya for both of those, but potter from Oynes. And we explained the first one refers to a Shomachinam, and the second one refers to a Shomasachar. Then we had the third section explicitly says in the Pasuk that it refers to a shoyl, and it says he's chayav for everything with the exception of Ba'olav Imoy, which is the subject of our Mishnah and the Gemara on it. The main topic of our sugya is this concept of Ba'olav Imoy, where we said it means that if the shoyl hired or borrowed the services of the owner together with the cow or before he borrowed the cow, then he's potter from anything that happened. Normally, as a shoyl, he would be chayev whether the animal gets lost or stolen or an onus or anything. The only thing normally he'd be potter for is mesa machmas malacha if it dies in the normal course of doing the work that it's supposed to be doing. But if ba'olav imo, then he's potter for all of those things, the pasuk tells us. Well, now we're going to work out exactly how we know that. So far, the Gemara has worked out how we see from the Pesukim that a Shomachinam is potter from Neva and Aveda, and that a Shomasachar is chayev in both of those things and potter from Einzim. So now the Gemara says, Vashoyal Mashalam is Hakol. So now when we say the Shoyal pays for everything, so where do we know that? Bishlema Shvuro Mesa, when the animal was broken, for example, it broke a leg or something, and therefore that he'd have to pay for the depreciation to the animal, or mesa, or where it died, dichtiv, then we see clearly the pasuk says, a person borrows an object from somebody else, and it's broken or it dies, and the pasuk says that he has to pay. So elishvuya b'shoyel menolon. How do we know by a shoyel that if the animal is taken captive by bandits or whatever, how do we know that he's chayim? You're going to say, well, we'll learn it by mamatzinu from shvura and mesa. Can't mal shvura or mesa unsa de solik adai sheken unsa de solik adai tohu. The difference is shvura and mesa are very common things to happen. So we can assume that when he first borrowed the animal or whatever it is that he borrowed, he kept in mind that possibility that such things might happen. Therefore, you can say that. Therefore, you can say that he accepted on himself potential responsibility for such things. How do you compare to shvuya, where it's something completely unexpected? You can't even say. At least, in other words, in the case, Rashi explains in the other cases, as far as shvura and mesa, you can say that he accepted on himself because. You can say if he didn't want to accept that degree of responsibility, he should have said so to begin with. At the end of the previous parak, the Mishnah and the Gemara had said that you're allowed to make such a condition. It is possible, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe even according to the mayor, to make such a condition and say, I'm going to be a Shomachinam only on such and such conditions, or a Shomasachar, or a Socher, or a Shoyal only on such and such conditions, different than the conditions the Torah says, and such a thing would work. So therefore, so Shvura and Mesa, which are common things, he could have made such a deal to begin with. He could have said, I'm borrowing it only on condition that I shouldn't be Chayav for those things, and therefore you could say that if he didn't make such a condition, he's Chayav. But when it comes to Shvuya, it's so far out of left field that you wouldn't even expect it. You wouldn't even expect him to make a tenai on it. So how can you be machai of him when maybe he didn't even have such a thing in mind at all? So the Gemara says, you're right. You can't learn it like that. You have to rather say, we're going to learn it from Gzeira Shava. Here by a shoyel, it says that he's chai if the animal is broken or if it dies. The nemer shvuro mesa b'shemasachar, and by a shemasachar it also says that expression. So mala is not really like zera shavim, more of a mamatzinu, but whatever. Mala halon shvuya imoy. Just like by the shemasachar, when it mentions those two, it also mentions shvuya together with it, because the pasuk says umes, where it says where the animal dies, oy nishbar, or it's broken, oy nishba, or it's taken captive, and then the pasuk says that, and then the pasuk says. that all those Shema Sachar is potter for. So we see that Nishbar and we see that Mesa and Nishbar goes together with Nishbar, with being taken captive, Afkan. So the same thing by Shoyo, we can assume Shvoya Imai, that when it says Mesa or Nishbar, it includes automatically Shvoya as well. So we're going to learn it by Mamotzin like that. But the Gemara says Ikal Mifrach, you can easily slug up, you can easily slug that up. The difference is by a Shema Sacha, when we're putting all those three together, it's saying that he's potter by all three of them. You're saying he's potter by, because a Shema Sacha is potter for Oinsin, and all those three things are examples of Oinus. How do you compare by a Shoyal where you're trying to put these three things together to say that he's chayav by all three of them? That doesn't work. So that doesn't work. So we're still wondering, how do we know then that a Shema Sachar is, how do we know that a Shoyal then is chayav for Shvuya? Maybe he should be chayav. Maybe fine. The Pasuk says he's chayav for Nishbar and Nishba, but maybe he's Nishbar and Mace, but maybe he's Potter for Shvuya. So the Gemara says, Ela Kirab Nosan. Rather, we're going to say that we learn that based on what Rab Nosan explains. The Tanya, Rab Nosan, Oy Larabis Shvuya. Rab Nosan says, by a Shoyal, it says, Umace, Vinishbar, Oy Mace. So the Oy comes to tell us the Rabbis Shvuya, that comes to include a third case of Shvuya. Well, Shvuya is where the animal was taken captive, like armed bandits or whatever came and then stole the animal.
And if that happened.
So we're saying a Shoyal Laschayev. So it's Shoyal Laschayev because it's an Oinus. The borrower, yeah.
Because it's an Oinus.
Because it's an Oinus and he's Chayev for Oinsin, right.
What's he not Chayev for?
He's Potter from Mesa Machmas Malacha. And if the animal dies in the normal course of work, so like he borrowed the animal, let's say, to plow, and then in the middle of plowing, normal plowing, just keeled over and died. He's Potter for that. He's also Potter, as we said in the Mishnah, and as we're going to start discussing the Gemara in great detail, that he's Potter in the case of Baal of Imai, where he hired or borrowed the owner's services beforehand or at the same time. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hi oi b'bori le'lachale." The question is, how can you say the word oi means to include something else, namely shvuya? Don't we need the word oi just in order to distinguish between them? In other words, if it said v'nishbar u'meis, then you would think maybe it needs to be both. The sakudai d'chamina, if it said v'nishbar u'meis, you would think ad mitbar u'meis aloi mechayim. Maybe he should be chayim only if it gets broken and it dies, kamash malon, and therefore the pasuk would have to be telling us one or the other. So the oy is needed to tell us that. Now there's a couple of different ways. There's a couple of different points that Mephoshim make why we would need to be saying that. Rashi explains that, in other words, that we would say Rashi and the Ritva also say that we would think that maybe you would be potter if only nishbar and not mace, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell us you chayev for nishbar if it broke a leg, you chayev for the depreciation of that as well. So maybe you would think, though, without the pasuk telling you, maybe you would think you're potter and you're chayev only if the animal actually died. And then on the other hand, the Rashash points out maybe the other way around. You could say that if it just died without being mesa machmas malacha, maybe you should be potter on the grounds that, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, malachamavis, malihochal, malihosam, the malachamavis could have gotten the animal just as well here or there, and therefore, if it just died, then I, the shoyal, should be potter, and only because it got broken should I be chayev, because that's not a matter of the malachamavis. Be that as it may, the point is, in other words, that we need to be told that it's one or the other that he's chayev, not necessarily both of them together. So the Gemara points out hanicha l'Rav Yonasan. Now it's like this: when we talk about whether you can learn something from the word oy, we have to bring in a machloikas of Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia, which the Gemara is going to explain in the next couple of lines. So if we say according to Rav Yonasan, where Rav Yonasan says that when the pasuk says two things and it doesn't put the word oi between them, it puts the vav between them, it can mean this or that. So you could say, even if it said according to him, nishbar umeis, it would still mean nishbar oi meis, even if it didn't say the word oi, and therefore you have the word oi available for a drosha.
I'm still confused why the or in the simple shot, what it really means.
So wait, so that's what we're saying. So listen, according to Rav Yonason, we're going to say like this. According to Rav Yonason, if the Pasuk says two things, if the Pasuk had said V'nishbar u'meis, it wouldn't mean that it has to be both of them. It would mean the Vav can mean or. Now, sometimes we find in Pesukim where Vav means or. So according to Rav Yonason, over here, that's what it would mean. If the Pasuk had said V'nishbar u'meis, it would mean one or the other. Therefore, if instead the Pasuk spells out with the word oi, then it means it can be one or the other. For that, you wouldn't have need the word oi. You can actually use the word oi for a drush. And maybe we can use it to daushin to include shvuya. But according to Rav Yoshia, as we're going to go on to say now, according to Rav Yoshia, if it says two things together, tied together with a vav, then it means both of them, unless the pasuk says the word oi. So according to him, then you need the word oi just for the pshat of the pasuk to say that one or the other.
What the word or means in English, if it does A or B, that means both of them, because if A happens, then I'm pater. If B happens, then I'm pater.
First of all, here we're talking about as far as chayev. So here we're saying, v'nishbar oi meis. If it's broken or dies, then he's chayev. So if it's one or the other, then he's chayev. Certainly if both happen, he's chayev. The question would be, that does it have to be both of them for him to be chayev? If it said v'nishbar u'meis, then he would be maybe only be chayev if both of them. According to Rabbi Yoshi,
we all know that it has to be chayev if this one happens
or that one. So that's the question: do we need the word oy?
In the end, would be ultra hard to accomplish.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize, because you could also read it that if this and.
So wait, let's go on in a couple of lines.
If this happens, he's chayv, and if this happens, he's chayv. But you're not reading that. You're reading if this and this.
If it didn't say the word oi, right. So let's go on a few lines further in the Gemara, and it'll become clear.
I got it. Yeah.
Okay. So Ella Lord of Yoshia, my Ikalamema, what are you going to say according to Rav Yoshia, who says that you need the word oi to tell us that it doesn't mean both of them? The Tanya, as we learn a similar concept in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Isha sheyikalas aviv ve'es imay. The Pasuk says if a person curses his father with his mother. Now, what does that mean? Does he chayev only if he curses both of them? So you would only know that he's chayev misas, the Pasuk goes on to say, if he curses both his father and his mother, because it says vav. Oviv b'loy imoy, imoy b'loy oviv minay. And how do we know that he's chayev misa equally much if he curses either one of them individually? How do we know? Talmud Loma, therefore we have the Pasuk continues, Oviv v'imoy kilel, he cursed his father and his mother. We're there, in other words, so Oviv kilel, imoy kilo. In other words, we can look at it like this. The Pasuk begins by saying, actually, yikalolos oviv v'es imoy. So it puts together oviv next to the word yikalol. Then at the end of the Pasuk, it says oviv v'imoy kilo, meaning the word imoy is next to the word kilo. Therefore, we can learn from that, that whether it's Oviv alone or whether it's Imoy alone, then he's Chayev Misa for cursing them. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, according to Rabbi Yoshia's way of looking at it, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, that's according to Rabbi Yoshia. According to him, only because the Pasuk repeats at the end Oviv v'Imoy Kilel and puts it in that order with Imoy next to the word Kilel, only that teaches us that he's Chayev Misa for either one individual. The Kos HaYeshuas, so an Acharon who writes on these Masechtas, explains differently. He says that the Gemara is learning just from the extra words of a v'imay kilo, that it means one or the other of them. In any case, according to Rabbi Yoshia, the point is that if it didn't say those extra words in the Pasuk, we wouldn't know. We would say that he's only Chayav Misa, only if he curses both of them. Rabbi Yonason says, you don't need. Mash mashneim ke'echad, the words that...
Says the word and.
No, they said and, yes. So Rabbi Yoshia is saying that it would mean and only because we have the continuation of the Pasuk do we understand that it means or. So according to him, unless it says or explicitly, or unless you have something else in the Pasuk that tells us that it means or, then it's going to be both of them together. Applying that to our Gemara over here then, since it says v'nishbar oi meis, the point is, it has to say oi. If it said v'nishbar u meis, you would have said that it means it requires both of them, it has to be broken and die in order for him to be chayav. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonason says, no, mashma shneim ke'echad or mashma echad b'fnei atzmai. The words oviv v'imoy can equally well mean, it's true it can mean both of them, but it can also mean each one individual. Ad sheyifrit l'cha kosev yachdav, unless the pasuk specifies for you the word yachdav, and then you know it necessarily means both of them together. Meaning,
Rabbi Yonason
and Rabbi Yonason, they're They're late Tanoim. They're late Tanoim, which is why they're quoted in a Braisa. Rashi explains, for example, the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, if it didn't say the word yachdav, says Rabbi Yonason, then you would say that it means not only you can't plow with the two of them together, you can't plow with either one individual. So therefore, because the pasuk says yachdav, makes it clear you're allowed to plow with an ox individually, you're allowed to plow with a donkey individually, just not the two of them together. But according to him, if it only said lo sachrish b'shor v'chamer without the word yachdav, it might mean that you are not allowed to plow with either one individually. Now, the Ritva asks the question, what is that supposed to mean? You're not allowed to plow with an ox. How are you supposed to do your work? And besides, it's very clear. The Torah tells us by the Aseres Adibris that you have to allow your ox to rest. So obviously it's working for you during the week. So he says a couple of possibilities. Maybe hypothetically, you would say that during the week, you're not allowed to ever plow with an ox. If it didn't say the word yachdav, but you're allowed to have a goy do it for you. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that either. Or, he says, the din is you're allowed to hitch yourself up or another person up to work together with an ox. You can have, for example, it's a particularly hard wagon to pull, for example, and therefore the ox by itself can't do it, and you yourself are going to take and then try to pull it together with the ox. The din is you're allowed to do that. If it didn't say the word yachdav, then you would say it's also to do that. You can have the ox do it by itself, but not the ox together with you. When it says the word yachdav, makes it clear the only thing that's also is the ox and the donkey together. But that's a point to Rabbi Yonason, in other words, that according to him, because it says yachdav means the two of them together, but if it says vav, then it can equally well mean each one individual. So the bottom line is, in other words, according to Rabbi Yonason, yeah, because it says vinishbar umeis, you would say it means one or the other, because it doesn't say anything about yachdav. But according to him, you have the word oy available for a drosha, and therefore you can learn from it that if the animal was taken captive, he's also chayev. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that you need the word oy because otherwise you would automatically say it means both of them. So according to him, how are you learning shvuya? So the answer is, I feel the tamer Rabbi Yoshia. You could even say that this goes according to Rabbi Yoshia. L'chalek ha'chalot tzarech. Here, Rabbi Yoshia would agree you don't need the word oi in order to make a distinction. You know that it means one or the other. My time is svara, because it's a svara to say that he should be chayev for only the animal being broken. Mali kotla kula, mali kotla pauga. What's the difference? Whether he kills all of it or half of it, when the animal breaks a leg, for example, that's kotla pauga. It's like half of it has been killed. A portion of it has been killed, and therefore you can say that's reason enough to say to be mechayev him only for that alone. And therefore, when the pasuk goes on to say oy mace, then even according to him, you say it doesn't have to say mace at all. And therefore, we can say that it means that from the word oy, we can also learn shivuya. So the Ritva brings from his Rebbe, where the Ritva had a few Rebbeim, but his major Rebbe was the Ra'or, Rabbi Aaron Alevi, the famous Bar Plugta of the Rashba. Anyway, the Ritva explains in the name of his Rebbe, whether it's the Ra'or or somebody else, that what the Gemara means is the word Nishbar, therefore, is extra. If it said Umes alone, then we would understand it means whether it completely died or whether it partially died, namely that it was injured. So therefore, when it says v'nishbar, then therefore we can learn from it that it also includes. So it has to say the word oy. It has to say the word v'nishbar because it can't very well say oy nishbar. But therefore, according to oy mace, rather, it can't say oy without having something before it. But the point is that tells us that the word oy can be extra, and therefore that we can use it to douch in shavuya. This expression mali kotla kola mali kotla pauga, by the way, comes up in sichas and in various places in chassidus, that it's used in connection with the yetzahara. A person kills his yetzahara completely, then of course that puts him on a very high level. He's a tzaddik. But even kotla pauga, even you kill your yetzahara to some extent, that's already a big avoida.
I understand that in relationship to certain things that you're 100% on, you've 100% killed your yetzahara in that one aspect.
Yes, so then that's included in that.
Let's say I used to like to eat treif, but now I don't never eat treif. So that's
kotla pauga as far as that, indeed. Yeah. That's what we're saying. That's a great level of avodah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in that connection, I mean, we talk about that a lot, but we have ground to cover. But yeah, there was a concept brought by the later Balei HaMusar called Mekudas HaBechira. Every person has within each taiva and within each midah or whatever a person has is a certain point where they're holding right now, where their bechira is in this versus that, and that should be rising during a person's lifetime. To give you an example of treif. You might have, for example, a person who until now was eating treif, his nekuda sabachira is therefore, am I going to start eating kosher or not? But for example, for him to say that even among kosher food, let's say I'm only going to eat it with a high level hashgacha, that would be maybe going too far for him at this point. But eventually, once it becomes, as you said, that it's upgefrecht by him, it's a given, he's not eating treif anymore, now his nekudas habechira has to be on a higher level. Am I going to eat this even though it has a substandard hechsher, or am I going to only eat this which has a better hechsher, that kind of thing. Mm. And then, yeah. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Fine. So, okay, so that establishes how we know that a shoyl is chayav for all these three things, gneva, aveda, and that it's chayav for shvura, shvuya, and mesa. Okay, next. Gneva v'aveda b'shoyl menola. Next, how do we know that a shoyl is chayav when the animal was stolen or when it was lost? V'chitemen neilach b'shvura mesa. You're going to say you're going to learn it by a mamotzinu from shvuro mesa. You're going to say he's chayev when the animal is broken, as we just established, or when it dies. And we're going to say, therefore, that we're going to learn by a mamotzinu that he's chayev gnev v'aveda. Can't. Mal shvuro mesa b'lay efshel mitrach v'asuye. The difference is, when it comes to shvura mesa, you can't go and bring it back. When the animal broke a leg, it's not going to heal necessarily. Or it's going to heal crooked or whatever. There's no way of bringing it back to its original state. At least it depends, I guess, on the situation. But not always are you able to bring it back to its original state. And if it died, also obviously not. As opposed to gneva v'aveda, where you could put in effort and be able to get it back. So maybe, therefore, the shoyl is not automatically obligated to return the animal. Maybe the shoyl is not automatically obligated to pay for the animal. Maybe he would say, you know, listen, I understand. I'm supposed to return the animal right now. It's lost or stolen. I shouldn't be on the hook to pay right now, because we'll see if we're able to get it back. Then fine. And he can always say that I'm gonna go to the trouble of getting it back. Tosfos adds the point. Now, if the animal is shvuya, you could say, well, then you could get it back. The answer is shvuya, where it was taken captive by armed bandits or whatever. It's much harder to say l'mitrach v'asuye. But when it was stolen by a regular ganav, or it was lost, as in he left it out in the meadow to graze, and it wandered off or whatever, on the face of it, it's much easier to get back. So you can't learn like that. Ela ki hodetanya. Rather, we have to learn as follows. By the shoyl, the pasuk says v'nishvare meis. It says if the animal is broken or dies, then he has to pay. And we established before that includes shvuya. Ein li ela shvuro meisa. So we would only know that includes where the animal is broken or where it dies. Gneva v'aveda minayin. And how do we know that a person that the shoyl is also chayev for when it's lost or stolen? So the braisa says we can make a marta kavachoyim. We can make a kavachoyim to prove that. Who has less responsibility than a shoyl, because as we said before, shemes sachar does not have hana like a shoyl does, because after all, the shemes sachar, he's getting paid for his work, fine, but he's not allowed to use the thing. So he's potter from paying for shvuro mesa, and yet chayev gnev v'aveda, but he's chayev if the animal is stolen or lost. Shoyl shechayev shvuro mesa, then if a shoyl is chayev when the animal is broken or when it dies, and it didn't shechayev gnev v'aveda, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that he's chayev also for gnev v'aveda? And the braisa finishes off v'zehu kavachomer she'en olav tshuva. This kavachomer has no refutation to it. There's no way you can refute it. Now the Gemara asks, my ein olav tshuva. The very fact that the Tana has to stress that there's ein olav tshuva, it kind of implies that you would think there was a refutation for it, and therefore the Tana has to tell you, don't worry, there is. What is that potential refutation that we might have tried to bring up? So the Gemara explains, v'chitema ikalim mifrach. You might have thought to argue and shlug up a kavachomer as follows, malashem esachar shaken mishalom tashlomei kefil betoyin tainas listim mizuyan. Now, we learned, the Gemara had said yesterday that when, and we learned about this in Bava Kamma in great length, that if a shomer chinam claims, and this you have explicitly said in the Pesukim, if Hashem Echinam claims that the item was stolen from him and swears falsely on it, and then it turns out that he kept it for himself, then he's paying kefil, because then he himself is the gamin. Well, there's a similar kind of thing when it comes to Hashem Asachar as far as listim mizuyan, because Hashem Asachar, being that he's potter for his chayav for regular gneva, so there's nothing to talk about where he claims regular gneva, he's not paying kefil, because even if he claims, regardless, he claims gneva, he's going to be paying keren. But if he claims listim mizuyan, he claims that an armed bandit came and stole the thing, then he's going to be, and it turns out that he himself had kept it, then he's going to be chayav kefil. So you would think to argue then that if given that there's a chumrah in a shomer sachar over a shoyl, because a shomer, it's true. So there is that one case. It's true in general, a shoyl is much more chumrah than a shomer sachar. But given that you have this one particular case where a shomer sachar is more stringent than a shoyl, namely that this toy and tainas listed mizuyan, where a shomer sachar, if it turns out to be false, is paying kefil, where a shoyl is not, because to begin with he's paying keren, and that's that. So therefore, so you would think to slog up that kal v'chomer, and to say you can't say just because a shomer sachar is chayiv v'nei v'aveda, automatically a shoyl has to be as well. Maybe in fact you would say no, a shomer sachar has that chumrah, and therefore maybe he has the chumrah of gneva v'aveda as well. The braisa is dismissing that and saying afilo hochi, nevertheless counted a shoyl adifa. The fact that the shoyl has to pay keren to begin with when there's listed mizuyan is considered more stringent, because as the Gemara had said yesterday, counter below shvua, to have to pay the keren without taking a shvua, adifa is stronger mikfela b'shvuya than having to pay kefil based on a shvuya, based on a shvua. So it's not considered a chumrah of a shomer sachar over a shoyl. And in fact, Tosfos earlier in the Masechta explains that basically it's a chumrah that results from the kula, because to begin with, we're makel on him and patterning the shomer sachar and patterning him by listing mizuyan. Therefore, the result of that is if he tries to misuse that patur and then claim listing mizuyan, and it turns out that it's false, then he ends up having to pay kefil. But it's a chumrah that comes as a result of a kula. So therefore, we look at the fact that the shomer sachar is basically more kal to begin with than the shoyl. And therefore, we can say that whatever chiyuvim apply to a shomer sachar, necessarily based on this kal v'chomer, apply to a shoyl. And therefore, if a shomer sachar is chayiv neva v'aveda, as it says clearly in the pasuk, then, well, it says clearly gneva and aveda. We learned yesterday by Mamatzinu. Then we're going to say the same thing applies to we said we learned from the word imgoniv yigoniv, and we said we can learn it from a kal v'chomer, and it said in the pasuk anyway. So therefore, we can learn from that to a shoyl as well.
Is this the main place in Shas where we learn about the arba?
About the Arba Shomrim, indeed it is, yes. Well, we talked about them back in Perek HaMafkid, in the Lamads of Ormasechta, and Lamads and Mems of Ormasechta. We talked about it a little bit in the sixth Perek. And now, yeah, this is the major place where
do they do this in yeshivas, this Perek?
Sometimes, yeah. The younger kids often do it. The older kids, yeah. I mean, when they're learning Bav Metziah, they may well learn it, yeah. There is, by the way, worth pointing out, there's a sicha in Chelek Lamed Aleph where the Rebbe analyzes, there's something in the Shalach Kodesh brings a point that the Shomrim reflect. We're saying you have two different axes over here, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, neither of them is allowed to use the thing. One's getting paid and the other is not. And a Shoyal and a Socher is one, they both get to use the thing, but one has to pay for the privilege of using it and the other one not. So the Shalach Kodesh explains that these reflect different ways in Avodas Hashem. Shem Achinam is the kind, like it says in Pirkei Avos, he's serving Hashem. Shalayam Anas L'Kaval Pras. He's guarding Hashem's world and all the resources Hashem gave him in it and not even getting paid for it. Hashem Asachar is somebody who is on a bit of a lower level. He's doing Hashem's mitzvahs, but he expects to get paid for it. And a shoyl is the polar opposite of that. Basically, shoyl is the polar opposite. He figures that I deserve everything from Hashem, and I don't need to do anything for Hashem. I don't need to pay him or anything. So there's and the Rebbe expands in the sikh on that.
One more.
Well, the Socher as well. So that's in that Sikha in Chelet Lamed Aleph, the Rebbe uses this to analyze the point we've had a few times, and we're going to have on Omid Beis again, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether a Socher is considered basically like a Shema Chinam, or basically like a Shema Socher, and the Rebbe analyzes in that Sikha in Chelet Lamed Aleph, in light of this explanation of the Shalom HaKadosh, how we, where we slot in the Socher over there. On the one hand, he does get to use Hashem's world. He is paying for that. So what do we consider him, basically? Do we consider him more on the level of the Shomer Chinam, who's... It's in Parshas Mishpatim, Chelet Lamed Aleph, yeah. In addition, there's another Sikha, which we'll talk about further on when we get back to the matter of Ba'ol Avimah. There's another Sikha where the Rebbe analyzes, I mentioned it to you briefly yesterday, about what Ba'ol Avimah represents in Avodah, but we'll get back to that. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So yes, we can make a valid kavah chomer and say that if a shemesh socher is chayiv for gneiv v'aveda, all the more so a shoyel is. Or the Gemara says another possibility, kosava list of mizuyin gazlan hu, another possibility why the Tana considers that there's no way of shlogging up this kavah chomer, because we can say a list of mizuyin is not considered a ganav, rather he's considered a gazlan. So therefore, so in fact, we can say that maybe, in fact, a Shomer Socher would be potter for Kefil in that case, because when would he be potter? When would he be chayv in Kefil? Only when he's making a claim of Gneva. So regular Gneva, Shomer Socher is going to be chayv for. List in Mizuyan, if we say a list in Mizuyan is considered a Ganav, then also that would make him chayv for Kefil. But if we say that a list in Mizuyan is a whole different class of thing, it's called a Gazlan, then in fact, a Gazlan anyway wouldn't be paying Kefil in the first place. So therefore, if he claims list of Mizuyan, according to that way of looking at it, he's anyway not paying Kefil. So then you really have no Chumrah of a Shomer Socher ever over a Shoyal. Because when he claims list of Mizuyan, regardless, in the case, if he claimed falsely, if a Shomer Socher claimed falsely, he's paying only Keren, and a Shoyal is going to be paying Keren for that regardless, because he's Chayav for Unzin. Okay. The Gemara says, Ashkechon Luchi. Fine. So we see that a shoyel is chayev in gneivah v'aveda. L'ptur min olam. Now let's get back to the matter of ba'ol of im, which
what
was
line
this,
are we on?
We're about the middle of the
okay.
Yeah.
What's the line start with?
The line starts in Mizuyan. It's about the middle of an hour.
Yeah, got it.
So okay, Ashkechon l'chiyuv. So far we found that the shoyel is chayev for all these things, Gneva, Veda, and the various kinds of unsin, Leptur Minolon, where do we see that he is, where do we see that he's potter when Ba'ol of Imo, even for Gneva, Veda? So in other words, the Pasuk only says, as far as Oynes, Yishal Ish Me'imre'ehu, the Pasuk says if a person borrows something from somebody else, V'nishbar Oymes, and it's broken or it dies, Im ba'ol of imo lo yishalim, and if the owner, and then the pasuk says it, ba'ol of imo shalim shalim. Im ba'ol of imo, if the owner is with him, lo yishalim, then he doesn't have to pay. So we see that he's potter for ba'ol of imo when the animal is broken or when it dies. But how do we know also that he's potter for gneva if there's gneva v'aveda when ba'ol of imo? V'chitem and neilach m'shvura o mesa. You're going to say we're going to learn by mamatzino from shvura and mesa. Can't malah shvura o mesa shkein onus. On the contrary, you could say those things are an onus, therefore you have reason to pater him when ba'ol of imo. But gneva and aveda is not so much of an onus. We see that even a shomer socher is chayev for those. So maybe a shoyel should be chayev for those even when ba'ol of imo. And the answer is elagomam shomer socher. Rather, we're going to learn from the shomer socher. The same way as the shomer socher is potter by ba'ol of imo. And what does he need to be potter from? Gneva v'aveda, because those are the things he'd normally be chayav for. If it wasn't ba'ol of imo, the same thing is. Well, the question is, v'shem asacher gufa min olon. Okay, well, where do we know that? By the shem asacher himself. By the shem asacher, it doesn't say anything about ba'ol of imo. It mentions it in the pasuk only in connection with shoyel.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is, gam l'chiyuv v'shem asacher m'chiyuv v'shoyel. The answer is, we're going to learn the chiyuv, what are the cases in which a shem asacher is going to be chayav, is only the cases that are parallel to when a shoyel would be chayim. Malahalon. So in other words, we're going to say like this. Of course, there's a difference because a shomer socher is potter from oinsim and a shoyel is chayim for oinsim. But nevertheless, we're going to say the scope within each one's scope of chiyuv, we're going to limit its scope in the same way as by a shoyel. We're saying that his his scope of responsibility for oinsin, which is what he's chayev in, is eliminated when ba'ol avimai afkan, the same way by the Shema Sachar, what is there that applies to him is what is there that he rechayev for is gnev aveda. Therefore, but ba'olim potter, if the owner is there, then we eliminate the scope of what he would have normally been chayev in, and therefore he's potter. So in other words, we're going to say like this. We're going to say that by a shoyl, the pasuk spells out that if ba'ol avimai is potter from oinsin, therefore, we're going to say the same. That means, in other words, that the thing that he is uniquely responsible for, then he's potter when ba'ol avimai. The same thing, we're going to apply that concept to the Shemesh Sachar and say that therefore, for him, what he would normally be chayav for is gneva v'aveda, and therefore he's potter when ba'ol avimai. And then in turn, we can use that. Then in turn, we can use that as a basis for then in turn, we can use that as a basis for saying the same thing applies back to a shoyl. Well, the Gemara asked the Mai Gomar, how are you learning that applies by a Shema Sachar? Are you going to say you're learning it by a Mamot Sinu, which is a Binyan Av? Can't. A Binyan Av, you can slug up. Ikal Mifrach Kedip Hachinan. You can slug it up like we did before, Shekain Oinus. Because we can say by a Shoyal, the thing that he's Chayav for, which nobody else is Chayav for, is Oinsin. And maybe therefore we could say an Oinus, because it's such an unusual thing to be Machayav him for it in the first place. Therefore you can say you bring in all of Imai, and therefore it's a reason to patter it. Whereas Gneva Abeda is much more common and much more preventable. Why indeed should the Shema Sacha be patter when all of Imai? So no, Ela Omakra Vichy Yishal. Rather, the reason is because when the Pasuk introduces the part about the Shoyal, it introduces it with a Vav. Vav Moses Val Inyan Rishon, which means therefore that we're taking the Vav and we're using it to add to what we brought before. So in other words, we're going to say v'yilomid elyon mitafton. So what it means is, in other words, that we're going to say now the first section of those two sections, which is talking about the Shema Sachar, we're going to learn from the Shoyal. That, just like by Shoyal, there's a concept of ba'ol avimai, the same way that concept applies to a Shema Sachar. Now, by a Shema Sachar, it doesn't need to apply to Oinsin, because Oinsin, anyway, he's potter. Therefore, necessarily, it has to be used to tell us about Gnev Aved, what he would be chayav for. So the Gemara asks though, vakati, but still that doesn't seem to work. Shoyo mishem asachar like gomar, still fine. So you could say that we learn from that a shem asachar, it has a concept of ba'ol of imoy, and therefore that since by him the only chiyurim he would have had without that of gnev of aveda, then therefore ba'ol of imoy comes and patters him from that. The problem with that is that we still can't then use that to learn back to the Shoyal and say by the Shoyal, he should be potter when Ba'ol of Imoy for Gnev of Aveda, because you still can't do that to Ikla Mifrach, because you could still slug that up. Mal Shema Sachar Shekin potter b'Shvura Omesa, because the Shema Sachar, after all, is potter by Unsin, by Shvura Omesa. So therefore, so maybe in other words, you would say that, fine, so you have this concept of Ba'ol of Imoy. What we would say by a Shoyal, it applies only to Unsin. By a Shema Sachar, fine, there's no Unsin, it applies to him by Gnev of Aveda. But the Shema Sachar himself has a kula. The very fact that he's potter from Oinsin, maybe therefore you would say, so fine, by the Shoyal, obviously Ba'ol of Imai patters him from Oinsin because the Pasuk says so. But maybe you would still say, you're still going to be machmer on him by Gnev of Aveda. You're going to try to learn it from a Kabbal Choymer. You can't do that, because the fact is a Shoyal is more stringent than a Shema Sachar in that he's chayiv for Oinsin. So Mal Shema Sachar Shekain Potter B'Shvura Omesa Toma B'Shoyal Shechayev B'Shvura Omesa. How do you compare? Shema Sachar is Potter B'Shvura Omesa, which are Oinsin, and therefore maybe you can be Mekel on him and say that even by Gnev V'Aveda he's Potter if Ba'ol of Imai. But how do you work that out by a Shoyal? Ela, so you're right. The Gemara says no. We're going to learn like this. Gnev V'Aveda B'Shoyal Chiyuvim Inolon. After all, where do we know that a shoyal is chayev and gnev v'aveda in the first place? We said before, the gomim shema sachar. We used the kavah choymer. We said if the shema sachar is chayev and gnev v'aveda, how much more so the shoyal? We even said that this was a kavah choymer she'ein olav tshuva, then it's a kavah choymer that has no refutation. Because we said even though there are two possible ways, there are two conceivable ways of refuting it, we said in fact neither of them actually works out. So in that case, then we have to apply the rule of dayo. When we're learning something by a Kavah Chomer, as we know, it can't be any stronger than the thing we're learning from.
Yeah.
As we learned, Right, we learned by Miriam, yeah. So yeah, we learned about it in detail in Baba Kama, yeah. So therefore, mag nevavat vaveda to shem asacha b'bailim potter. So just like as we've just established by a shem asacha, he's potter from nevavat vaveda when the owner when all of right. After nevavat vaveda to shoyel, the same thing. Given that the shoyel to begin with is chayef nevavat vaveda only by virtue of a kav chomer from shem asacha, then daye will tell us nami b'bailim potter that also he's going to be potter b'bailim. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hanichal amanda isle daya." Well, that works according to the opinion that we do apply daya in the first place. El amanda lesle daya my iklamemar. What about according to the opinion there in Baba Kama that we don't apply daya? Okay? Now Tosfos says, "What do you mean with an opinion that says you don't apply daya?" We established over there in the Gemara that everybody agrees that everybody agrees on the concept of daya because yeah, we learn it from the story with Miriam. What it is Rav Tarfon holds over there where daya would break apart the kavachomer. Where without daya, you wouldn't have the kavachomer, wouldn't be teaching us anything. Then he says you don't say daya. We had an example over there involving a shur, tam, shur, muad, whatever. But so the sort of tarfon had said over there. If you were to apply daya, you have no kavachomer anyway. The kavachomer is not teaching you anything you wouldn't have already known. But where daya allows the kav chomer to still teach us something, even Rav Tarfon agrees you apply daya. Well, over here, even the kav chomer alone teaches us something, even if we do apply daya, namely that the shoyel is chayev of nevav aveda, which otherwise we wouldn't have known. So therefore, even according to Rav Tarfon, daya applies. What does the Gemara mean? According to the opinion that doesn't apply daya. So Tosfos says it doesn't mean there's an actual opinion like that. It means the Gemara hypothetically understands it over there in a Habam, that there is an opinion that would say we never apply daya, and the Gemara is asking according to that hypothetical opinion, not that there's any actual such opinion. And Tosfos gives examples of that from other places in Shas as well, where the Gemara will do that. Anyway, so we still have to understand according to that opinion. Ella, no, we're going to say like this. Omakro v'chi yishal, we said that the Pasuk says, v'chi yishal, which again, we said, vav moisif al inyan rishon, the vav tells us to add to what it said before. So now we're not going to say it's not just a one-way learning. V'yilamid elyon v'tachten, v'tachten me'elyon. In that case, then we can learn in both directions. So we can learn from that the shemesachar is chayiv gnev v'aveda, that we can learn from the shoyel. So we're taking what it says by the shoyel we're learning in both directions. We're learning from the shoyel to the shemesachar that ba'ol of imoy applies. And by shemesachar necessarily that's the gnev v'aveda because he's not chayiv v'onzin. And we can also learn in the other direction that from the shemesachar to the shoyel, which means that just like the shemesachar is chayiv gnev v'aveda when there's no ba'ol of imoy, so is the shoyel. Which means Tosfos says at this point now we don't need the kav chomer that we brought anymore. Before we said we have a kav chomer and it's kav chomer she'ein olav tshuva. Now we're saying you don't need that. The vav alone can tell us to learn in both directions. You don't need any kav chomer at all. Right. And the point is also, now you can't say that you can slug it up because one is stronger than the other, because when it comes to a hekish, you can't slug up a hekish just because one is stronger than the other. Ein meshivin ala hekish, it's called. So that's a point to Rashi. Tosfos
hekish stronger than a gezerah shavah.
Hekish in that sense is stronger than a gezerah shavah, yeah. Because since the Pasuk chose to put these two things together, then therefore it means that we learn one from the other. Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta explains it a little differently and says the vote is because it says the vav, it makes it as though literally it actually said all the details in both places. So therefore, so it's not even a matter of a hekesh, it's a matter of that as if it literally said it in both places, and therefore obviously there's no shlug matter.
That's even stronger than a hekesh.
Yeah. Okay. Itmar. So now that we've worked out how we know the various chiyuvim of each of the shoyimim, and how we know that by each of them, ba'ol of imoy is potter. So now let's talk about within this concept of ba'ol of imoy. Itmar, pshia b'bailim. What about, so now we've established, for example, by Shemes Socher, that if there was gnev of aveda and ba'ol of imoy, then he's potter. And by a shoyil, we said gnev aveda as well as oinsin. What about pshia b'bailim? What about if he was careless, any of the four shoyimim, after all, achayiv, when they're pshia? And what happens if the owner was working for him at the time? He had borrowed or hired the owner's services? Pligibar of Acha and Ravina. So Rav Acha and Ravina have an argument about what would be the din there. Chad amachayev, chad amapotter. One says he's chayav, the other one says he's potter. The Gemara mentions in other places in Shas that when Rav Acha and Ravina are argue, most of the time Rav Acha is the one who's machmer and Ravina is the one who's maple, with three exceptions. So over here, then therefore it comes out that Rav Acha would be the one who's saying that he's chayav, and Ravina would be the one who says he's potter.
First Ravina, second.
But Pashtus is the first Ravina, yeah. Manda Omachayev, the one who says that he's Chayev, Kasavar, he holds like this. When we had the Vav over here, Mikra Nidush Lefonav, the Loyalist Napa. He says like this, the Vav ties together the Shema Sachar and the Shoyal, as we just said. But you can't say that the Vav also goes back on what's before that. Now, the Shema Chinam and the Shema Sachar are not tied together with a Vav. It doesn't say by the Shema Sachar, it introduces Ki Yitin Isha Re'ehu without a Vav. So the question is, can the Vav that it says at the beginning of the Shoyal refer all the way back to the Shem Echinam? And a Shem Echinam is Chayev for Pshia. So according to the opinion, according to Rav Acha, who says that he's Chayev, he would hold. You can use the Vav to learn the Shoyal from the Shem Esachar and the Shem Esachar from the Shoyal, but not to go all the way back to the Shem Echinam. Hilkach imba olav imai, therefore the concept of imba olav imai, a Shem Echinam, like Siv, is not referring to the Shem Echinam. Because there's no Vav tying together the Shem Echinam and the Shem Esachar, and therefore you can't, and then by the Shem Echinam, the only thing he's chayev for is Pshia. Pshia nami b'shem, so where does it say even the concept that he's chayev for Pshia is only by a Shem Echinam, or Pshia nami b'shem Esachar v'shoyol loiksiv, and it never says Pshia explicitly by them. So therefore, Hilkach b'shem Esachar v'shoyol l'chiyuv asti b'kav v'choyim b'shem Echinam. So when it comes to Pshia, that they should be Chayev, when it's not Ba'ol of Imo Yishuv, we can learn it by a Kav HaChomer. We can say, for Shem Echinam is Potter from everything else, but he's Chayev for Pshia, all the more so that a Shem Esachar and that a Shem Esachar and a Shoyuch should be Chayev for Pshia. So that's a valid Kav HaChomer. Av B'Bailim Lifter, but to say that if Ba'ol of Imo, that he should be Potter, that he should be Potter, after Shem Esachar or Shoyal Loi, we would not say that that would apply to a Shem Esachar and a Shoyal. My timer, because when does the Pasuk say, Kiksiv, Ba'ol of Imay Loishalem, Ashoyal Vashem Esachar? Because where does the Pasuk say this concept of Ba'ol of Imay? It says it by a Shoyal, and because of the Vav, we learn that it applies to a Shem Esachar as well. So, Ahanach Kiyuvid, Ksibbo Behedio, Demichdiv, the fact is, it's only referring, therefore, so therefore, it's only referring to the ones that it actually says explicitly by them. Omanda Oma Potter, the opinion that says that he's Potter, Kasavar, he holds Mikro Nidr Shofanov, Vilifne Ponim. He says that, no, the Pasuk of Ba'ol of Imay can be understood to be referring all the way back to the concept of the Shem Echinam, two parashiyos earlier. Therefore, Kiksiv, V'chiksiv, Im Ba'ol of Imay, Hashem Echinam, Nami Ksiv, therefore, the Im Ba'ol of Imay does in fact refer to back to the Shem Echinam as well, and since by the Shem Echinam is where it mentions the concept of Pshia, then therefore we can say that yes, it would apply in the case of Pshia as well by all three of them. So according to Ravina, yes, we're going to actually say that it refers back to all of them. And the Shita B'Kubetzos actually brings a few points that still, don't we say, the fact is, the Shem Esachar and the Shoyal are more stringent than the Shem Echinam, so maybe fine, maybe by Shem Echinam we would say they're potter from Ba'ol of Imay, by Pshia, how do we know it applies to the other ones? So first of all, again, Daya, like we said before, also because the fact is it doesn't say Pshia by them, we only learn it from a Shem Echinam, so therefore, so whatever is going to apply to a Shem Echinam by Pshia is going to have to apply to them as well. And also, again, because since we have the Vav, so we're saying we're going to learn back and forth between all of them, and therefore we're going to say that once the Shem Echinam is Chayev for Pshia, and all of them are Chayev for Pshia, then automatically that's going to mean, but all of Imoy, we're going to learn from Shoyal to all three of them. So that's the Machlokas. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that whenever we have a Machlokas from Acha and Ravina, the Gemara explains always the Machlokas is like the one who's Mekel between the two of them. In most places, Rav Acha was Machmer and Ravina was Mekel, and Halacha is like Ravina. There's three places where it's the other way around, where Ravina is Machmer and Rav Acha is Mekel, and again, the Halacha there in those three cases is like Rav Acha. Three cases involving in the Halachas of Kashrus that I mentioned in Pesachim and in Chorin. So,
say that again.
Normally, Ravina is the one who's mekel on the halachas, like him. In three cases, Rav Acha is the one who's mekel on the halachas.
And it's like always him. Like the mekel one between the two.
It's always like a mekel one between the two of them. Therefore, Tosfos says that over here. Now, of course, it would be a chumrah relative to the mafkid, relative to the owner of the thing. But the fact that we're patering the one who has the money, Safik Mamon Lakula. So therefore the shomer who would otherwise have had to pay, and therefore we're not taking the payment from him, is considered a kula, and therefore we can say we're passing on like the one who's made.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And this seems to be the only place where we pass in like the makel everywhere between
Rav Acha and Rav Enya.
No, between two parties.
Yeah.
Like Yal Kagam is
right.
Not
yeah, it's true.
Makel and Nachmir.
All right, let's go. So the Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which of the two opinions it fits better with. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ashoyel as a part of a Shah Baal Le Ha'ima, a person borrowed a cow and borrowed the owner's services together with it. Ashoyel as a part of a Socha Baal Le Ha'ima, or he borrowed the cow and hired the owner together with it. Shah Baal is Sochan Vachaka Shah as a part of, or he borrowed the owner's services or hired him and then borrowed the cow. So in all those cases, umesa, then if the cow dies, potter. Now, the ilu shemachinam like a tani. Now, the Mishnah is not mentioning a shemachinam. It's only mentioning a shoyl. So therefore, doesn't that imply maybe therefore that, so therefore, a shemachinam, the only thing he'd be chayav for is pshia. So therefore, and therefore, maybe that would be implying that pshia b'bayalim would be chayav, like Rav Acha, not like Ravina. Well, the Gemara says, v'li taimech. According to your own svara, you want to be medayik that from the Mishnah. Shemasacha mikatani. The fact is, the Mishnah doesn't mention shemasacha either. And a shemasacha for sure, we already established that he's potter by gnev of aveda if ba'olavi, right? A socher for that matter also. Even when the Mishnah mentions socher, it doesn't mention as far as renting the cow. It only mentions as far as hiring the owner. Ela tana milsa deksiva behedya katani. Rather, we can say the tana is only mentioning something that it says explicitly in the pasuk. To ask him drosha like katani, the tana of the Mishnah did not want to bother mentioning something that we learn only from a drosha. The fact is that we can say that ba'ol of imay, but that we only learn even if we say that pshia b'bailam is potter, we only learn that by virtue of a limud rather than that says explicitly in the pasuk. The tana may not have wanted to get into that level of detail. The Maratz Chayus points out there are other places where the Gemara says just the opposite. The Milsa de Asya b'drosha chavivale, that's something that at the beginning of Yevamos, for example, the Gemara mentions, and in other places, something that we learn from a drosha, the Tana considers more important and therefore wants to discuss it first. So he says the difference is if we're going to be mentioning both of them, then yeah, we're going to want to put the one with the drosha first. But if we're only going to be, but we don't have to mention the one that was learned from a drosha at all, we can only mention the one that it says in the pasuk and leave out the one with the drosha altogether. This is the Maharat Chayus brings this from an early Achron named Moshe Kazis.
There's so much to this Gemara.
Yeah. Okay, so no proof one way or the other from that, because the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention a Shem Chinam doesn't show that in fact he's Chayav the Bailim. In fact, you could say he's Potter, and the Mishnah only wanted to focus on the Shoyal because he's the one who says in the Pasuk. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma, let's bring another proof from a Braisa, which says Shalom Shabal Lehaima, if he borrowed the cow and borrowed the owner's services together with it, Sachar of a Sachar Baal Lehaima, or if he rented the cow and hired the owner together with it, Shalom of a Sachar Baal Lehaima, or he borrowed the cow and hired the owner, Sachar of a Shabal Baal Lehaima, or he rented the cow and borrowed the owner, in all those four cases, even if the owner is doing their work someplace else, meaning that they were hired or borrowed to do completely different work, umesa, and the cow died, potter, then the shoyl is potter because it's considered ba'al of imay. Now, svaruha, for purposes of the question, we assume homani Rabbi Yehuda. We assume that this braisa goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, as we've learned several times, that a socher is considered like a shomer socher in terms of the degree of responsibility, where it was the same way as a shomer socher is chayev for gneiv v'aveda and potter for oinsin, so is a socher. Well, v'ha'hai tana katani milsa da'asu midrasha. Here we see the Tana is mentioning something that comes from a drasha, because he's mentioning a soicher who is considered like a shemasachar, v'ilu shemachinam la'katani, and he still leaves out the shemachinam. So wouldn't that show? So in the Mishnah, you can say, fine, he's mentioning only what it says in the pasuk. But the Braisa is clearly mentioning something that doesn't say in the pasuk. So then, therefore, and the fact that he leaves out the shemachinam would seem to mean that because by a shemachinam, the only thing he can be chayev for is pshia, and pshia he is in fact going to be chayev even if ba'al of iman. But the Gemara says that's not necessarily so. Palmani Reb Meir, because you could equally well answer that this Braisa goes according to the Meir. And therefore, so the Omer Seichel Keshemachinam Dami, he says that a Seichel is the equivalent of a Shemachinam, therefore Tana Shemachinam Vahuadin LaShemachachar. Therefore, yes, the Tana is in effect mentioning a Shemachinam, and the same thing would apply to a Shemachachar. So, yes, in other words, the Tana is mentioning a Seichel who, according to the mayor, is in fact Chayev only for Pshia. And nevertheless, we're saying that he's Potter Babaylim, which on the contrary would support Ravina's position that he's Potter. And it doesn't mention Shemesacher, because once we understand that that applies to a Shemechinam and a Socher, which is basically like him, then of course it applies to a Shemesacher as well. Or another possibility, Kidimachlif Rabba Barabua, the Gemara is saying that maybe in fact the Braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda after all, and it would be like the way Rabba Barabua flips around the opinions for Tony. He learns, as we learned before, Socha Ketzer Meshalim, how does Socha pay? Rabbi Meir Omer Kashem HaSachar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kashem HaChinam, the other way around, where the Meir makes him like a Shem HaSachar and Rabbi Yehuda makes him like a Shem HaChinam. So therefore, this Braisa could well be a point to Rabbi Yehuda, but again, that the Socha would be like a Shem HaChinam. Why would we want to do that? The Ritva points out on the face of it, then why would we want to make the Braisa go only according to Rabbi Yehuda? Tosfos actually asks the question, why would we do that given the halacha is not like him? The fact is, a soicher is like a shomer socher. So why are we trying to kvetch ayin to say that the Braisa is going to work according to the opinion that makes a soicher like a shomer chin? So Tosfos leaves the question open. The Ritva points out, Stam Braisa Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara tells us it's in Hedrin, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, and apparently the Ritva understands that that means in general, Braisas are often the same way, Stam Mishnah and Meir, the same way often, Stam Braisa Rabbi Yehuda. Another point that the Ramban actually says, it's not really, the Gemara is not doesn't really need to bring this point in, but just every time the Gemara mentions this matter of Soicher, it always brings in this point of Rabba Baravu, a different version of it, so therefore the Gemara brings it in over here also, even though it's not really directly Negea to the Sovia. So the bottom line is, so we could, Ravina can use the Braisa as a proof that Pshia Babaylim Potter, Rav Acha is not necessarily contradicted by it, but nevertheless, at least Ravina can use it as a proof. And as we said, since the Tosfos points out, since the halacha is always like the makel between them, the result is that Pshia Babaylim Potter. So now here's where there's a sikha from Tavshin Mem Ches where the Rebbe talked about this point in Avoida. So what does it represent? So as we said, you have the different kinds of people, a shoyl representing a person who, as the Shalach HaKadosh says, he thinks all he needs is to take from Hashem and not to give Hashem anything. Nevertheless, the Rebbe says it can also refer to a person who's a bit on a higher level than that. He does enjoy the things of Hashem's world. It's not that he's saying, I don't owe Hashem anything, but he's saying, like, to a certain extent, he's saying Hashem kind of owes me because I've done so much more for Hashem previously. So therefore, like, Hashem owes me one. So it's not the best way to do, but still, anyway, the point is though, when the person is bebailim, when he has a constant awareness that Hashem is with him, then we're saying over here, based on the maskana over here, even pshia bebailim is potter in the sense he shouldn't be punished for when he slips up. He has to do tshuva, of course, even the shemesachar, even the shemachinam, when they do have to do tshuva for anything they do wrong, but to be punished, we can say, because ba'ol avima, because the yid wakes up in the morning and says moda'ani, and goes around and starts his day with the realization. So that's what we're saying over here. We said the ba'alim have to be with him beforehand. So therefore, when he first wakes up in the morning, the first thing is ba'ol avima, that he recognizes Hashem is with me, and I'm saying moda'ani to him. Therefore, the result is, even during the rest of the day, even though maybe he doesn't have that consciousness, this in the forefront of his mind, it's still Ba'ala Bimai, as opposed to if it were to be, as we said, as we learned before, and as we're going to learn later on, if you have, first he slips up and does something wrong, and it's Pesheya, or Gnei Vaveda, or Mesa, or whatever, and then he's going to have, then he's going to bring the owner in, then it's not so simple. Meaning, in other words, if a person were to first slip up and only then start getting religion, then you can't necessarily say that that would exempt him from punishment. But a yid wakes up in the morning and says, Moda'ani, therefore it's Ba'ol of Imoy, to begin with, before there was ever the Pshia or the Oines or the Shvura or Mesa, etc. And therefore, yes, he has to do tshuva, but punishment he shouldn't be subject to. A yid should not be subject to punishment from the Eibishter for slipping up. That was the gist of that. That was the gist of that sicha. The Gemara continues. Omer of Hamnona, lo olam hu chayev ad shiyeh pora v'chodesh ba chamor u'chamer achareha. The shoyl, or whichever shoymer, would always be chayev even when he hired or borrowed the owner, unless the owner is actually plowing together with the cow or leading the donkey. In other words, only when the owner is actually doing work together with the animal itself. And the ad shiyu ba'al mashas she'ela ad shas shvuro mesa. And furthermore, Rav Hamnuna says, only when the owner is there, from when he borrowed it until it was broken or died or whatever happened. But if it was only, if he had only hired him, for example, and he wasn't there at the time of the accident, then Rav Hamnuna says the shoyl would be chayav. Al makasava ba'al avima, I call a mil samashma, which means that he holds that ba'al avima refers to the entire story from the she'ela until Venishbaremes. Well, the Gemara says Masiv Rabba. So Rabba says, I have a contradiction from the Braisa we just quoted before. Shal of a Shal Ba'alaha Ima. We said if he borrowed the animal and borrowed the owner with it, Sachar of a Sachar Ba'alaha Ima, or he rented the animal and hired the owner together with it, Sachar of a Shal Ba'alaha Ima, or he rented the animal and borrowed the owner with it. Shal of a socha ba'alei ha'ima. He borrowed the animal and hired the owner. And the Braisa had said, "Afa pisha b'ilam oisin malacha b'makam achar." Even if the owner is doing work someplace else, umesa, and the animal died, potter. Then the shoyel or the soicher is going to be potter. My lab. Now, when we say the owner is doing work someplace else, my lab b'malacha acheres. Doesn't that mean where the owner is doing work someplace else, a completely different malacha? And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying, he's potter. Whereas Rav Hamnuna is saying he's chayev unless he's actually working with the animal itself. So the Gemara says no. Loy ba'oisa malacha. No, it does mean that he's doing in that work. So what do you mean? Alamayim mokam acher dekom rapi va'ozo kamar. You could have, for example, that the owner of the animal is going and softening the soil ahead of the animal. Meaning, in other words, you can have. So you borrowed or rented a cow to plow your field. Now the field, the ground may be very hard. So you borrow or hire the owner together with it, and you set the owner to he's going to go ahead of the animal and be turning up the earth a little bit and softening it enough that when the animal gets there, then it'll find the ground is already soft enough and it's able to pull the plow and plow the field. So therefore, he's not literally working. So it can be considered
picking up big rocks. That would
picking up big rocks would be, yeah. So the point is, in other words, though, so it would still be considered. So it is ba'osa malacha. Rav Hamnuna would say that's the case where he's potter. It could still be called b'makam acher, in the sense he's not literally leading the animal and then and telling it where to go in order to plow, but he is going right ahead of it in order to do something. So therefore, that can still be called makam acher. Okay, the Gemara says, "Bahami de sefer al gabahavi." What do you mean, though? In the sefer of the Braisa, which we're going to quote on the next line, is talking about al gabahavi. The sefer is clearly talking about where he's on top of the animal, literally leading the animal and telling it where to go. Reisha b'malacha acheres. Necessarily, the reisha of the Braisa has to be talking about where he's doing completely different work. De katani sefer, because the sefer says, "Shala b'achakach shala ba'alah." Now, on the other hand, if he had borrowed the animal and only later on he borrowed the owner, and as we've learned in the Mishnah, that doesn't work. That's not Ba'al Avimai, because Ba'al Avimai has to be that the owner was already rented or was already hired or borrowed by him before or at the time when he borrows or rents the animal. So if he borrowed the animal first and later on borrowed the owner, or he rented the animal, and afterwards he hired the owner to work with it. Even if the owner is actually the one leading the animal and telling it where to go in order to plow, and the animal dies, and the shoyal or the seicher is chayev, because that's not ba'al of imoy. So it's clear that the second part of the Braisa is talking about, where he's on top of the animal, al gaba, he's actually leading the animal to the plowing. So in the Reisha, on the face of it, therefore it has to be even, therefore in the Reisha, it has to be Malacha Acheres, and saying that even so, it's still considered Ba'al of Yimai. So the Gemara answers no. Ami, they answer Reisha v'Seifa ba'Oisa Malacha. No, you could say that both the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about the owner is involved in that same Malacha of plowing. Reisha Rabusa Kamash Malon, v'Seifa Rabusa Kamash Malon. You could say both the Reisha and the Seifa are each telling us a Chidush. Reisha Rabusa Kamash Malon. In the Reisha, where we are also talking about he's doing the same work, but meaning, like we said, digging in front of it, Kamash Malon, the Reisha wants to tell us, the Afogab, the Lav Al Gaba, it's not literally on top of the animal. He's not actually leading the animal to plow. Ela Ba'osa Malacha, he's only involved in the same kind of work. So it's not, but still considered, so Rav Amnuna would still call that, B'mokam Acher, so the Braisa would still call it B'mokam Acher, but the point is, even though it's considered B'mokam Acher, but nevertheless, it's Ba'osa Malacha, given to have a bailam, the Shas She'ela, since the owner was with him at the time of the She'ela, because he had borrowed or hired the owner first, then therefore Potter. So that would be the Chiddush of the Reish. The Sefer Rabusa Kamash Malon, the Sefer would also be telling us a Chiddush. The Afagav Da'agaba, even though the owner was actually working on the animal itself and then and having it plow directly, given to have a bailam, the Shas She'ela, then because the owner was not with him, the Shas She'ela, Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev because Ba'al of Ima doesn't apply in that case. So you could say the Braisa, both halves of the Braisa are talking about. So yes, the first part of the Braisa can be talking about where he's not doing Malacha Al Gaba, and nevertheless, the Chiddush is that that it would apply because he is at least right there. He's not directly on top of the animal, but he's in front of it, and that's enough for, according to Rav Hamnuna, for it to be considered She'ela B'Bailim. But in the Sefer, even if he's actually working on the animal itself, no good because it wasn't B'Bailim, because he didn't borrow or hire the owner beforehand. But the Gemara says, Hai Mai. What do you say? How can you say that? How can you understand the Braisa like that? If you're going to tell me that the first part of the Braisa is talking about where the owner is doing a completely different work, so he borrowed the cow to plow, and meanwhile he borrows the owner to go and write a letter for him or something. So then the Sefer is talking about where the owner is doing the same exact malacha of plowing Hainu Rabusa. Then we understand the Chiddush. Eli Yamat Reisha V'Sefer Ba'osim Malacha. But if you're going to tell me both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about where the owner is involved, and just one of them is involved by digging in front of the animal, and the other one is being involved by directly leading the animal, my Rabusa, then what's the Chiddush? Aydi Ba'aydi Ba'osim Malacha Havi. The fact is, both of them are involved in the same malacha. There's no logical reason to say that there should be a difference whether the owner is walking in front of the animal and softening up the soil versus actually leading the animal. So there wouldn't be that much of a chiddush in the Braisa if you're going to learn it that way. But oid, furthermore, there's another reason why we can shlug up Rav Hamnuna. Rashi explains that this is actually a continuation of the previous question. When the Braisa had said that he has to be, when Rav Hamnuna had said that the owner has to be with him from the beginning to the end, from the time of the She'ela until the accident, we have a question on that as well. But Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, since the Pasuk says, if the owner is with him, he doesn't have to pay, wouldn't it be obvious that if the owner is not with him, then he has to pay? So why does the Pasuk have to mention both points? First, the Pasuk says, first, the Pasuk says that if the owner is not with him, then he has to pay. Then the next Pasuk continues, if the owner is with him, he does not have to pay. It could have just said that second part. We would automatically understand the first part. Why does it say it? Loy Malacha comes to tell you. If the owner was together with the animal at the time, or not even together with the animal, with the borrower, the renter, at the time of She'ela, Ein sorich liyasim and v'shas shvuro mesa. He does not have to be there at the time of the accident. But if he's only there at the time of the accident, sorich liyasim and v'shas shela, it doesn't work to have the p'tura ba'al avimai unless he was with him at the time of she'ela, as the Gemara is going to soon explain how Abaye and Rava are going to explain respectively how we see that from the pasuk. So the Braisa is clearly saying that he doesn't need to be with him for the whole time. As long as he was with him, b'shas she'ela, then we don't care where the owner is at the time of Shavuro Mesa. V'tanya idach. Then we have another Braisa that says, mimash mashneva ba'olam e'ni mashalam mishalam. Again, since the Pasuk says, we can say the other way around. Since the Pasuk says that if the owner is not with him, he has to pay. Eni yadeshim ba'olam e'ni mashalam. Isn't it obvious, therefore, the converse, that if the owner is with him, he doesn't have to pay? Why isn't it so we could say the other way around? The pasuk could have said the first statement and not the second. Elamatam lamin, ba'olavim, tells you, kivin sheyotzim mirshus mashil shah achas, as soon as it left the rishus of the one to whom it belongs to, the one who lent out the animal, shah achas, even for one moment, bebailim, and that was bebailim, where he had previously hired or borrowed the owner, or mesa, then if the animal dies afterwards, potter, then the shoyl is potter. Mm-hmm. And again, he doesn't have to be with him, b'shas oynas, tiyufta de Rav Hamnuna, therefore these braises clearly contradict Rav Hamnuna, and the Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta, it's a clear contradiction, and the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna, doesn't matter whether the owner is doing the same work or different work, doesn't matter whether he's even present at the time of Shavuro or Mesa or not, just the fact that he was rented, just the fact that he was hired or borrowed, he doesn't have to, that's the thing, as long as he's ba'al of imay, that he was borrowed or hired before or at the same time of the she'ela or any other kind of thing, then he's potter.
If he's just clearing the rocks.
So for example, not even clearing the rocks, that's what we're saying. Even for example, Reuven rents Shimon's cow to plow his field, and before that, or at the same time, he hires Shimon to write a letter for him or do some other completely unrelated work. Nevertheless, that would still be considered she'ela b'bailim, and therefore he'd be potter from anything that happens to the animal. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and Abaye and Rava will work out how exactly we understand that from the Pasuk and how exactly the Braisa is telling us this point about the various parameters of She'ela B'Bayim. Shkoyach, everyone.